This is The Recap, a review of the day's news in the Tri-States area for Wednesday, April 17th, 2024. With Tri-States Public Radio News, I'm Mike Murray. The Illinois Attorney General's Health Care Bureau is investigating suspicious medical bills from Galesburg's Cottage Hospital, which has been closed for more than 2 years. Tri-States Public Radio's Jane Carlson reports.
A number of consumers filed complaints with the Illinois Attorney General after receiving bills with the Cottage logo that were postmarked in Michigan and were for medical services performed years earlier. Documents obtained by TSPR through a Freedom of Information Act request show a mediator for the Health Care Bureau contacted Cottage owner Sanjay Sharma of SBJ Group in February, saying the consumer complaints cast doubt on the legitimacy of the bills. Concerns ranged from no one answering the phone at the phone number listed on the bills to whether former patients could be taken to collections for years-old medical bills, as was threatened on the bills. The mediator has asked Sharma if the purported billing office is aware of timely filing limits for medical bills or if said billing office is offering financial aid. Per the state's Fair Billing Act, all Illinois hospitals must notify patients about the availability of financial assistance and provide detailed billing information before taking patients to collections. The bills received by former Cottage patients were not itemized and did not make any mention of financial assistance. Cottage Hospital closed in early 2022 after losing Medicare participation due to numerous violations. Its license was later revoked. I'm Jane Carlson.
The Illinois Department of Transportation is one of the state's largest stewards of prairie land. IDOT owns 429,000 acres of right-of-way across the state. Former roadside maintenance manager Stephanie Dobbs says that includes a significant amount of prairie remnants and areas the department is restoring.
Don't fight Mother Nature, right? If you plant what's supposed to live there, if it's in a forest, plant trees. If it's in a prairie, plant prairie. It just exists better. Better groundwater absorption and everything else, but restoration is expensive.
Because restoration is expensive, Dobbs says the department does it in small patches at one time. Other prairie conservation efforts at IDOT include widespread planting of milkweed to encourage population growth in the endangered monarch butterfly. The National Alliance on Mental Health intends to open a new office in Western Illinois. The organization says it will hold an open house in Mount Sterling in June. The specific date and location have not been determined. The group also plans to hire a program director to lead the office. The goal is to provide mental health services and resources to multiple counties in the region. Gun control advocates were outside the Illinois Capitol building yesterday, rallying for three bills. Illinois Public Radio's Mawa Iqbal reports.
One measure would require law enforcement agencies to publish homicide data every month, while another would allow families to request a review of cold murder cases. And then there's Karina's bill. It's named after a Chicago woman who was fatally shot by a domestic partner after she took out an order of protection against him. The bill would require judges to order that guns be taken from people who have been served with an emergency order of protection. Karina's cousin, Monica Alvarez, spoke.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see time is of the essence? An order of protection is simply not enough to protect victims. The weapons must go.
That bill sits in the Senate and has yet to go to the House. I'm Mawa Iqbal.
The Iowa House sent the governor a bill that will clear the path for teachers to carry guns in school if their local school boards authorize it. Some parents are concerned about what that might mean for their kids. Iowa Public Radio's Grant Leo Winterer reports.
The bill would require districts with enrollments greater than 8,000 to hire school resource officers trained in firearms. 60% of Iowans support armed staff in some way, according to a February Des Moines Register poll, but some black parents aren't so sure. Kim Campbell is the mother of a student in Waterloo Community Schools. She worries that allowing firearms in the district could make school less safe for her middle schooler.
Historically, black and brown people have been more largely impacted by gun violence. As a mom raising a black son, I'm always thinking about stuff like that as well.
The bill would also give qualified immunity to permitted armed staff and protect them from prosecution if they use, quote, reasonable force. I'm Grant Leo Winterer, IPR News.
Iowa lawmakers have sent the governor a bill to regulate traffic cameras. It would require cities to prove to the Iowa Department of Transportation that their traffic cameras that automatically issue speeding tickets are necessary for safety. Automated traffic enforcement systems could only issue tickets if footage is reviewed by city officials and the driver was going more than 10 miles per hour over the speed limit. The measure passed in the Senate this week with bipartisan support. In our feature for today, as newspapers around the country close and consolidate, rural towns are fighting to keep their local papers in print. As Kaylin Moore of the Kansas News Service reports, one Southwest Kansas printing press has become a lifeline for local media.
In the rural Southwest Kansas town of Liberal, an unassuming warehouse contains something increasingly rare for a sparsely populated area, a printing press churning out thousands of newspapers. What used to be a community staple is now almost obsolete. But here in Liberal, they are printing nearly 20 weekly papers for small towns across four states, plus their own newspaper, The Leader and Times. Workers change out the metal plates used to print images for these surrounding communities. It's helping keep those other community papers alive and slowing the growth of news deserts where people can't find local news. Earl Watt, owner of the paper, says local newspapers are a community staple.
Every community has to have a grocery store. They have to have schools. There are certain fundamental things that make a town. One of those, in my view, is a newspaper.
Watt has been in the business for over 30 years. He has established a symbiotic relationship with the surrounding papers desperately trying to stay open. Printing newspapers in the region keeps not only those papers alive, but sustains his own paper and justifies printing locally at a time when many large city papers have closed their presses.
Having their local newspaper keeps the community pride high. It keeps the community engaged and informed.
Over half of Kansas counties have either just one newspaper or none at all, according to a study by the Center for Innovation and Sustainability in Local Media. Having a press nearby keeps newspapers like the Huguenot and Hermes 30 miles down the road in print for cheaper than sending their paper off for print farther away. Roglinda Coulter, co-owner of the Hermes, says not many news outlets would care about some of the stories they run, but the Hermes gladly puts their community members on the front page, like the triumphs of local middle school sports or a couple celebrating 76 years of marriage.
I've lived here all my life, and one of my other partners has too, and we read the Hermes when we were little kids, and I would hate to see it go away.
Coulter and two other women bought their town's paper in 2007 after working there for over 10 years. But it hasn't been easy. They struggled keeping up with finances, staffing, and even sexism. So what's the point of going through all that trouble for a newspaper in a town of a few thousand?
They cover the city council meetings, and they cover how tax dollars are being spent while also informing the community about how they're being spent.
That's Emily Bradbury, executive director for the Kansas Press Association. She says newspapers also play a critical role in local politics. A study from the journal Urban Affairs Review showed in towns without a newspaper, fewer people ran for mayor and also fewer voters turned out for local and national elections. But trust in the media is already at a historic low. Bradbury says local media can really be the key to restoring trust in journalism among rural communities.
They see it as a huge difference between their local paper and their local journalists versus, quote-unquote, the mainstream media.
These papers not only aid in informing their communities, but they contain a lot of history. For history buff Lydia Gray in Liberal, these newspapers were not just scrap, but instead a historical treasure that sometimes reveal colorful Western stories that aren't documented anywhere else. Like old conflicts between early settlements that have turned into ghost towns.
And they actually shot a sheriff, and yeah, it was a mess.
Gray wrote a book on the history of Seward County, where Liberal's printing press resides. Old newspapers were sometimes the only documents available to piece together the history of Southwest Kansas. Back at the printing press in Liberal, Lisa Diaz is retired but helps fold the papers by hand a few hours a day for extra money. Diaz and a coworker fold and bundle the papers, idly chatting and listening to the radio. Although their jobs are almost never seen, this human touch is what small-town papers still rely on. Diaz has lived in Liberal most of her life. She says she hopes these newspapers enhance the sense of community in the region.
In all the counties around here, I think they need to stick together and kind of put us on the map.
For the Kansas News Service, I'm Kaylin Moore in Liberal.
The Kansas News Service reports on health, the many factors that influence it, and their connection to public policy. This story came to us through our collaboration with Harvest Public Media. In the weather for our listening area for today, it should be cloudy, then gradually become mostly sunny with a high in the upper 60s. West winds at 20 to 25 miles an hour could gust as high as 35 miles an hour at times today. For tonight, mostly clear skies with a low in the upper 40s. For TSPR News, I'm Mike Murray. Tri-State's Public Radio is part of the NPR network.